Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Amos. Prophet Amos has been warning the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, that God's judgment is coming because God told him to go and warn them that judgment was on the way. This is the conclusion in chapter 9, Amos chapter 9. This is God's word. "I saw the Lord standing beside the altar, and he said, 'Strike the capitals of the pillars so that the thresholds shake. Knock them down on the heads of all the people. Then I will kill the rest of them with the sword. None of those who flee will get away. None of the fugitives will escape. If they dig down to Sheol, from there my hand will take them. If they climb up to heaven, from there I will bring them down. If they hide on the top of Carmel, from there I will track them down and seize them. If they conceal themselves from my sight on the seafloor, from there I will command the sea serpent to bite them. And if they are driven by their enemies into captivity, from there I will command the sword to kill them. I will keep my eye on them for harm and not for good. The Lord, the God of armies, he touches the earth. It melts, and all who dwell in it mourn. All of it rises like the Nile and subsides like the Nile of Egypt. He builds his upper chambers in the heavens and lays the foundation of his vault on the earth. He summons the water of the sea and pours it out over the surface of the earth. The Lord, that is Yahweh, is his name. Israelites, are you not like the Cushites to me?" This is the Lord's declaration. "Didn't I bring Israel from the land of Egypt and the Philistines from Captor and the Arameans from Kir? Look, the eyes of the Lord God are on the sinful kingdom, and I will obliterate it from the face of the earth. However, I will not totally destroy the house of Jacob." This is the Lord's declaration. "For I am about to give the command, and I will shake the house of Israel among all the nations as one shakes a sieve, but not a pebble will fall to the ground. All the sinners among my people who say, 'Disaster will never overtake or confront us,' will die by the sword. In that day, I will restore the fallen shelter of David. I will repair its gaps, restore its ruins, and rebuild it as in the days of old, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations that bear my name. This is the declaration of the Lord." He will do this. "Look, the days are coming." This is the Lord's declaration. "When the plowman will overtake the reaper, and the one who treads grapes, the sower of seed. The mountains will drip with sweet wine, and all the hills will flow with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel. They will rebuild and occupy ruined cities, plant vineyards and drink their wine, make gardens and eat their produce. I will plant them on their land, and they will never again be uprooted from the land I have given them. The Lord your God has spoken." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. All through this book, the message has been destruction is coming. Judgment is on the way. Don't think you're safe. And that continues to be the message through most of chapter 9. It's only at the very end of this book, only at the end of the last chapter, that the tone changes. But I want you to see not only that the message to those who thought they were safe is, you're not. You're not safe. There were those who were still saying, despite God's warning over and over, they were saying, well, we'll be okay. We'll be fine. These were people with what in our culture today we would call a positive outlook. They were folks who had a very elevated self-image. And they were just sure that everything was going to be fine. They were optimistic in the extreme. No matter what God says, I'm going to be fine. I can do as I please, and it's okay. And God's saying, no, it's not. And God says, not only is destruction coming, but he says, you can't outrun me. If you go up to the top of a mountain, Mount Carmel, if you go up to the top of Mount Carmel, that should be refuge. No, God says, I'll bring you down. In fact, if you were to ascend into heaven, I'll bring you down. If you dig down to the place of the dead, you won't be able to escape me there. I'll bring you up. There are some people who think that when they die, it'll all be over. God says, no, there's going to be a resurrection and a judgment. And those who think, well, death will bring relief. Not if you don't know Christ. If you don't know Jesus, there's no getting away from God's wrath. He says, you could go to the bottom of the sea and I'd arrange for the sea serpent to bite you. God's in charge. And there's no place you can get away from him. I hear people arrogantly and stupidly say, well, I don't want to worship a God like that. Well, so you're an idolater, okay? You prefer to have a man-made God, something you imagine, something you dream up, something you manufacture, and that's what you want to worship. But don't think that that makes reality go away. Have you ever seen that silly game that parents sometimes play with their children and in order to create psychosis, I guess? Johnny goes, and we go, oh, where'd Johnny go? Where's Johnny? And little Johnny somehow thinks that if he can't see you, you can't see him. It's magic. I have disappeared. Well, if you know that that's a childish game, maybe you could argue that it's cute. But when you're an adult and you're trying to do that with God, you think because you don't believe in him, he doesn't exist? You think because you refuse to worship, somehow God becomes powerless and says, oh, well, if they don't believe in me, I can't do anything. Let me tell you something. God is warning his people one last time in this book, judgment is coming and you can't run from it. Because they refused to repent. They refused to repent. They would not turn. And so God says, the Lord, the God of armies, he touches the earth, it melts, and all who dwell in it mourn. It rises and subsides like the Nile of Egypt. He builds his upper chambers in the heavens. He lays the foundation of his vault on the earth. He summons the water of the sea and pours it out over the surface of the earth. The Lord, Yahweh, is his name. God is God. And you don't get to vote. He's not running for office. Jesus Christ has now been declared King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you don't want that, tough. Jesus told a story about a man who went away on a journey to be appointed as king, as ruler. And while he was gone, there were those who sent messengers to tell, we don't want him to rule over us. And Jesus says, he was made king, however, and he returned. And when he returned, he demanded an accounting from those to whom he had entrusted treasure. And then, after the accounting, he says, and as for those who did not want me to rule over them, bring them here, and they are killed before him. Do you understand? That's in the red letter part. For all who think that I'm just going to stick with what's in the red letters, they don't even bother to read what's in the red letters. That's just their way of saying, oh, there's a bunch of stuff in here I don't like. I'm going to just stick with these parts. Well, stick with those parts and you will discover that the whole thing is God's word, that you need to know it, you need to believe it, you need to obey it. And if you think that you can get away with saying, no, I don't want you to rule over me, and God will just say, okay, well, I guess I'll go deal with people who do want me to rule over them. No, he rules over the whole universe. The devil knows that his days are numbered. But he would very much like to deceive people, including you, into thinking that rebellion against God somehow will pay off. If you refuse to bow before him, he is still God. And the day will come when you have to bow. So many images God has brought to mind over the years. I had a magnificent German shepherd when I was growing up as a teenager in Montreat. One day he and I were walking down the road together and one of our neighbors had a dachshund. It decided to run out into the road and attack my German shepherd. It jumped up and grabbed hold of my dog's side right behind his right front arm. I said arm because he was a very intelligent dog. The dachshund jumps up, bites, and is hanging like this. And my German shepherd turned around, pulled that little dachshund off, shook it, and tossed it into the hedge. He did that with his mouth. Now, I want you to understand the jaw strength on a German shepherd like that. Okay? Billy Graham's German shepherds popped the tires on an Olds Cutlass in order to bring the car to a stop because it was not authorized to be where it was. Okay? If you can bite through a car tire, you've got great jaw strength. Okay, that unauthorized visitor to the Graham home didn't make it to the house. He was on the driveway, and he suddenly had two flat tires, and he had to wait until someone found him because this was before cell phones were ubiquitous. So I want you to understand that my German shepherd could have just clamped down on that dachshund, and we would have had three sections of dachshund. Okay? You would have had the back section, the front section, and the middle section, which would still be in my dog's mouth. Hey, that's gross. I don't want you to think about how gross that would have been. I want you to think about the fact that that dog attacked mine three times. Three times. And the owner came out and started yelling at me about how people shouldn't have vicious animals like mine. My dog could have eaten her dog. Now, why am I comparing my German shepherd to God's wrath? Because God warns and Foolish, foolish, foolish people think, I can do as I please. I can have it my way. Let me tell you something. You can't even have it your way with a German shepherd. If you think you're going to be able to take on God, you are sadly mistaken. A friend of mine was saying the other evening on the phone, he's writing a book right now. He said, I'm writing in this chapter about the fact that control is an illusion. We are not in control. We try so hard to line things up and to think we've got it organized. Our finances, our health, our relationships. And the fact is, God can change it all like that. You think you've got it settled. You think you've got it fixed. And God goes, suddenly it all changes. I was praying earlier this morning for the people of Chennai. The monsoons didn't come on time. Now the water reservoirs are totally dry. And people are dying for lack of water in Chennai, India. We have friends there. There are precious Christians there in Chennai. And there are millions of people who don't know Jesus in Chennai. What are you going to do? I mean, here's my house, here's my business, here is my family. If it doesn't rain, what are you going to do? We are not in control. God is in control, and God says, repent. And if you refuse to repent and refuse to repent and refuse to repent, you need to know that God says judgment is coming. But amazingly, the reason God is sending judgment is because the people deserve it. But he says, however, I will not totally destroy the house of Jacob. This is the Lord's declaration. I'm not going to completely destroy. God always saves a remnant. God always has this group. Think back to the time of Noah. The whole earth was flooded, but God saved Noah and his family and restarted from that. Amazing. Because he didn't need Noah and his family to restart. God spoke the universe into being. He said, let there be light, and there was light. God didn't need Noah and his family. He chose to save Noah and his family as a picture of salvation. And God doesn't need to save us, but he's chosen in his mercy to save those who believe in Jesus. And so, he says, in that day, I will restore the fallen shelter of David. I will repair its gaps, restore its ruins, and rebuild it as in the days of old. Folks, if you look at what has happened in the history of Israel, it is nothing short of miraculous. It is in the news continually because it is at the center of what God has chosen to do in the last times. Those who said in the 1800s, God's going to keep his promise and Israel is going to be restored to their land, were laughed at by most. And after the Balfour Declaration, after the Ottoman Empire subsequently collapsed, God put his people back in that land as promised. But they would never be a nation. It couldn't happen. It wouldn't be allowed. And in 1948, God birthed them in that place. Well, it's been a hard slog. It's been a hard-fought fight. But you know what? Go back and look at the history of the Six-Day War. I watched on the television as a teenager as the surrounding nations promised publicly that they were going to drive Israel into the sea, that they were going to wipe them out, that they did not deserve to live and they would destroy them. And Israel didn't just fight back, they won in 6 days. And on the seventh day, God rested. I mean, miraculous. And their neighbors then suddenly said, "Why would they attack us? We didn't do anything." I watched it. I didn't just read the history. I watched it. I experienced it. In the years since, there have been many challenges, but I want you to understand something. Please get this. God has deliberately brought his people back into the promised land. But living in Israel and enjoying the amazing progress agriculturally, architecturally, scientifically, culturally, all of that beauty, all of that excellence, all of that amazing success will not get you into heaven. The message is still the same today. Apart from Jesus, there is no salvation. If you are not trusting in Yeshua, you will be damned. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. There's no other hope. That's true still today for the people living in Israel. It is certainly true for those of us living in East Tennessee. You can't say, "Well, God, I'm a good person. I've done this, I've done that, and I've never done this, and I've never done that." All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And having sinned, we can't now clean ourselves up and say, "Well, just overlook the stains." No. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Please, while you have the opportunity, cry out to God for mercy. Ask him to save you. He's the only one who can. And he is willing. He gives you the opportunity. He calls you to himself. God says more than once through the prophets, "I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked." But if you insist, hardening your heart and saying, "No, no, no, I want to be my own God. I don't want to serve that God. I don't like what the Bible says. I want to do things my way. I want to have it my way." You're an idolater. And unless you repent, you'll be destroyed. I remind you again, do not think that simply because you don't believe in God, he ceases to exist. The Lord, he is God. Yahweh, he is God. And he has exalted Jesus, Yeshua, and given him a name which is above every other name. Come to him and find healing. Come to him and find forgiveness. He's calling you to trust in him. Do not delay.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.